Christmas evening to all. Welcome to Mountain View for this time of worship. We certainly appreciate the musical gift that our musicians have made on behalf of our pastoral staff, Sarah Merchant and myself. We welcome you to this worship service on this Christmas Eve. We come together as family. We come together as friends. We come together to celebrate this holy night. Welcome. Would you rise with me as we sing our opening carol, Once in David's Royal City?
Thank you.
If you'd remain standing for our call to worship, and I'll have the Hlavach family go ahead and make their way forward to be lighting our Christmas candle after. Animals came to prepare your bed.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Shepherds stood guard, marveled, and said,
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Angels sang to calm your cries.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
And all the world gave one great sigh.
Come, Lord Jesus, you have come.
You may be seated.
Tonight we light not only the Advent candles on the wreath, but also the Christ candle on the altar. On this night, we welcome love into our hearts and homes. In Jesus Christ, we aim to develop our faith and a resilience to love others. This reminds us of the message in St. John chapter 1, verse 14. The world became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
The message is that God is love, and this love put on the robe of flesh at Bethlehem. He walked and taught among us and endured the cross for the salvation of his people. This is a tough, enduring, and triumphant love. It is also the love of resurrection and of Easter. The message is multidimensional. Behold how much God loves us, how we ought to love one another, and stay open to all humankind. Tonight we light these candles as we embrace the will and way of love. God's love come to earth, our Emmanuel.
Let us pray. Father of all, we pause to marvel at your gift to us. May all anger, jealousy, and strife in us disappear. May the true spirit of Christmas conquer our hearts and lift Christ's love above all others. Amen.
Glory. We now come to our time in our service where we can pray together, lifting up our hearts to God. Will you pray with me? O holy God, on this holy night, we joyfully celebrate how you became one of us in the most unlikely way, not because you had to, but because you wanted to. As a child born to young parents, alone and afraid, a teacher who shared your love with all, and a Savior who hung on the cross, embracing the entire world in divine love. On this holy night, we come for the Christ child to be born into every nook and cranny of our lives. For the very first time, for the first time in a long time, and in ways that will change us from the inside out. On this holy night, we wait to be filled to overflowing with your love. Love so unconditional, it accepts us just as we are, with both our joys and our sorrows. Love so transformational, it just can't leave us where we are. And love so invitational, it welcomes us into eternity itself. On this holy night, we make a passionate commitment to follow Jesus, to go where he leads us, share his love every day, and do it in the midst of everyday life. On this holy night, we are ready to experience a spiritual revival beginning right now, continuing every day of our lives, and lasting for eternity. On this holy night, we simply pray that your will, O God, shall be real on earth as it is already in heaven. And we do so in the name of Christ the child, who is our Savior, Lord, brother, and friend. Amen. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken on this day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as a fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he shall be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Oh,
Hear this reading from Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs forth from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another, or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Would you affirm your Christmas belief and stand with me as we, a people of God, affirm our faith together? I believe in Christmas. I believe that God sends light into dark corners of our lives, and then in the lonely and cold moments, God comes with a message of hope. I believe, startled to hear the good news of the angels, but eager to go and see for myself. I am Mary, aware that somehow God is using me to accomplish things too big to imagine. I am Joseph, not understanding fully that which God calls me to do, but following as faithfully as I can. I am the innkeeper, busy and frazzled, but making room somehow for God to be born. I am a Westman, on a journey of discovery, bearing my gift to be given to glorify God. And yes, I am the angel, proclaiming through my own life the glorious good news that God has come into the world and we shall never be the same. I am Christmas, and with my life, I will proclaim that Christ is born, that Christmas is here, and that God is with us. Amen.
Oh,
You may be seated. Our passage from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is he who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. I'll invite you to stand and sing with us again. Seated. As the ushers come forward, I want to invite you into this time of offering. It's another way that we worship, as we are able to offer ourselves, offer our hearts, offer our gifts, and offer our love into the world. The gifts that you offer this night will be given through this community into this community of Boulder, our nation, and the world. So thank you for your generosity, and may God bless the giver as he blesses the gifts.
Thank you.
We thank you for these gifts and the generosity of the hearts that gave them. May both be blessed and made abundant in your world. The hearts of love made abundant for the people here and beyond. We thank you for gathering us tonight and gathering these resources for your purpose. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're getting close to that Christmas story you might know. So I want to invite you to hear the words from the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. He was from the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this could be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "But how can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let us stand.
If you are able to remain standing as we read the Christmas Gospel, it comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It can be found on page 832 and 33 in your pew Bibles. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I come to such a night as this, mindful of my growing up years, mindful of the challenges that Christmas Eve brings to a person like me. And to understand that a little bit, you might need to understand that I am a family of seven people, including two parents, and when Christmas Eve would come around, it was a nightmare. Trying to get five pairs of little feet into five pairs of little shoes and five pairs of pants and my sister a dress was really, really tough. And you had to come early, because if you didn't come early, why, you could hardly find a seat. And with seven people, we had what we like to call instant fillipew, which meant that we most of the time got to sit really close to the preacher in the front row. We got used to the preacher spitting on us whenever he had big words to say. But most importantly, we learned that that military precision, which everybody else saw as we walked into church slightly late, but not too late to be completely embarrassed, because my mother wouldn't have that, that it was a charade for us to walk in all shiny and clean and polished shoes and clean clothes. We were a rowdy bunch. And it took a lot for my parents to tame us. But we came to love Christmas Eve. We came to love worship altogether, because it was the one time and the one place, although my father's arms reached long and wide to cover and squeeze the neck of anybody who was misbehaving, it was the one time we were able to sing together the songs of the faith. My mother tried to play the piano, and sometimes we would do that on a special occasion with family present, but usually the cat in the family would play the piano, and honestly, I've got to tell you this, and I would tell my mother the same thing, the cat played better than my mama. We realized that Christmas Eve was a special night. And I believe to this day that a night such as this, gathered earnestly in worship, kneeling together at the manger, is a night filled with beauty and joy beyond all measure. A night such as this is bathed in divine light, suffused with the holy possibilities. And when I come to write a Christmas Eve sermon, I usually scratch out about 95% of what I write, so that the gospel doesn't get covered over with something else. That's a confession. Christmas Eve is tough. It's hard work. It's joyful. experience contradict so much of what we know in life that it can be hard for us to get clear and get to the place where we can celebrate God's gift of love freely, truly, where it's not a charade. Tonight is a night when we can briefly suspend our disbelief and embrace the moment we have been given at last, to find ourselves renewed in our hope and open to God's gifts. A night surrounded with beautiful, crisp, amazing gifts of hope, which we do not earn and can barely understand. This is the voice of a cynic. I confess it. To know how it is we move beyond the lessons we learn in life, to learn the lessons that are truly important, the ones that transform our lives and us in the midst of it, that's the reason for a night like tonight. Now, I have to tell you that the children seem to get it. Even nature takes a breath and the night air is crisp with something of the miraculous. You and I, not so much. We enter into the unearned blessing of God's love, revealed in the babe of Bethlehem, only while we listen in faith and bow with reverence and allow something miraculous to happen to us that we don't necessarily have control over. And there's the rub. I believe the gospel writers are trying to tell us this, even as the birth narrative unfolds. Our gift this Christmas is God's love, and we have the opportunity tonight to let it transform us from the inside out, or to remain completely untouched and untransformed. Here's the great difference between God's gift and most other gifts we may receive on this night, and that is that God's love in Jesus Christ comes without strings. Now, this is unique among qualities of God's love, for whereas most gifts are given with unspoken expectations or relational fine print, God's love is offered no strings attached. As we see in a threatless baby of infant birth, of impoverished parents in the backwater of Bethlehem. Therefore, we're full of expectancy for what God would do with this night and freed from the expectations laid upon us and upon the birth narrative from the outside in. Our change comes from the inside out. God's change comes to us from the inside out. Our change comes from the outside in. Nonetheless, one can scarcely imagine circumstances less remarkable than these, more amicable, and circumstances less noteworthy or more approachable. God's gift of love on this night is simply too modest, yet too grand to ever adequately repay. And so, as it says in the old hymn, "O come, let us adore him," this may be our one fit response to the gift we receive in Jesus Christ. Christmas is a time of hope. It is a time of hearts. It is a time of holy mystery, gathered as we are at the creche on a night bathed in divine light and suffused with holy possibility. And all of it is beyond our control. Now, having been a parent, I think I have an idea of what it is my parents wanted for us as we marched in line, somewhat late, but not too late, into the sanctuary on Christmas Eve night. It wasn't just the appearance. It wasn't just an activity. It wasn't just children shoehorned literally into shoes and pants, and my sister wore a dress. It was an opportunity for us to experience the holy together. By this time in my pastorate, you all are my brothers and sisters. You may not realize it, but as I look at you, I know personal stories. I know personal challenges. I'm getting to know some people for the first time. And it's important to me and to know what you're struggling with. And so I believe it's important for you to know that Christmas Eve, that sermon gets written about 15 times, and I scratch out all the words and start over here about 20 times. Great deal of fun. And this week, on Thursday, the computer ate my sermon. Our problem is that although we often run short on hope, we may not know how to resolve it, how to restore hope. And though we often make the brave attempt, we can despair of living uprightly before God. And though we often want to receive God's gift of love, we can find it almost impossible to allow Holy Mystery any freedom within our lives. I think how afraid and hollowed out one must be to say no to God's love, offered without strings attached. I reflect how balled up and unfulfilled must we be to turn down God's love, divine possibilities, and how little we must think of the Creator to turn away from the gift of love that's offered here tonight. And yet, before we rush ahead to condemn others for not being in the holiday spirit, we have to take responsibility for our own crumbling Christmas cynicism. That gloomy shade that sometimes overshadows God's holy light, that grumpy Gus gathered there beside the evergreen, that groaning goat bleeding at another showing of Christmas at the Cranks on the TV. Be aware, we have a part to play. And we can transform and be transformed by claiming our share of God's love and joy on this holy night. Right here, right now, we can change our course. We can lean into the narrative and live into this holy mystery. We can come to realize what is the purpose behind Christmas Eve worship. Now, resisting overblown expectations and nonsensical commercialism and the rush to financial ruin in this high pressure and impact season could destroy all of our joy for Christmas. Opening up the Discover Bill on January 15th is not a joy that I have. But as long as human beings can acknowledge their need for light in this season of darkness, as long as we can lean forward and ask for help from Creator God, then perhaps we can meet God's embrace halfway on this holy night. As long as we can, young and old alike, gather to greet Santa and worship the Christ child on Christmas Eve, there is hope that God's gift of love and openness and joy may yet be ours. Christmas Eve is a celebration of hope and a resource beyond our understanding. It's a moment of holy mystery aimed at inviting us out to play in the delight of God's grace. Now, this is unfamiliar ground for some of us, to be sure, but the opportunity is there to coax us out of our well-constructed holiday barricades and remind us that we are not alone after all. Tonight is an occasion for you and I to allow God to suspend our disbelief and let the light of joy creep back into our souls. What would that be like? By this light, what could we see? By God's holy presence, what could we now understand? For God's invitation to do just that is for those who listen carefully and are able to open themselves up to Christmas joy. In the 15th chapter of the Christmas Gospel, we read the phrase, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven." Now, for my money, that's where all the trouble starts in the Christmas narrative. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the bottom drops out of the Christmas story. Sure, there's a few unkempt shepherds left glorifying and praising God and a perplexed young couple stunned standing by the manger. But where does that leave us? Up until that time, the narrative was all stained glass wonder and divine promise and shining light and dazzling cherubim, earthly peace and angel sign. And after it, it's all bumbling shepherds and searching wise men, doubting disciples and dumbfounded sheep. What in the wide, wide world of sports are they to make of this miracle which has happened to them? What are we to do with this mystery which was birthed so long ago? How can we appreciate the significance of this heavenly gift, which, as we read in Luke's gospel, was promptly wrapped in it by his parents in birthing rags and put in a feeding trough for safekeeping? If they don't even know what to do with him, stick him in the trough. What are we supposed to do with him? Maybe he's like a lot of kids. They don't come with a manual. I don't know if you know that. There is a warranty, but no manual on our children. What in the world are we to make of this gift? A little later in the passage, I think there's an answer. Almost as an afterthought, the writer of Luke writes, "And Mary pondered all of these things in her heart." Now, I admit, against the backdrop of angel choirs and bleeding sheep, you might miss it. It's almost a whisper in the Christmas story, a subtle postscript to the great birth narrative, and yet its significance is owing to nothing less than the tenacity of a mother's love and the power of divine promise. Its power is revealed even in its weakness all around the world and across the ages to people like you and I. On a night like this, born unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, after the angels had dropped the big news on them and left to their own devices, the once fearful shepherds traipse all over Bethlehem to see if what they had been told was true. I imagine that their disbelief was pretty much overwhelmed by what they had just witnessed. Bright lights and angel voices and heavenly choirs and the like. But like many of us on Christmas Eve, maybe they came out to see if someone was playing a trick on them. They set a guard over their sheepish charges and ran for the nearest manger. Now, I've often wondered how they found the right stable and if they found the right one right away. Or did they have to visit a few makeshift mangers to get the right one? There wasn't a star shining over the place like you see in some of our Christmas cards. That's a different story. It comes later in the Gospel of Mark, where the wise men arrive following advice from old King Herod. Now, my guess is that the shepherds, no strangers to animal stalls, went place to place in overcrowded Bethlehem asking the human occupants if there was a baby born that night. And they were so excited, they were completely out of breath. Perhaps it went like this. The angel, good news, joy, baby, wrapped, manger, good news. And the people in those other places said, what? God became a little baby. Who can be afraid of a little baby? A tiny little baby is completely dependent on his parents and family, powerless, unable to even eat or drink for itself or work anything out. A baby is no threat to anyone. This is the Christmas story. This is the witness of how Almighty God chose to become dependent on human beings for the good news to grow, to develop, to live among us, and to be told out to others. And what is that good news to us this holy night? It is that our Emmanuel means that we are not alone in this tumultuous world. It is in accepting our vulnerability that we are made strong through Christ. It is that God chose to become powerless as a little child, dependent on us to share God's message with the world. That's Jesus' story. That's the lost wise men's story. That's the babbling, breathless shepherd story. That's the uncertain Joseph story and the brave Mary story. And that's our story if we will allow God's Spirit to take up residence in our hearts this night and transform us and change us. The night is crisp. The snow is beautiful. I consider worshiping on Christmas Eve with you and my family to be real family, to celebrate what's really important. And how can we understand the significance of this heavenly gift against our contemporary worries and strains? Well, Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. And I believe on a night like this, when we do the same, we might come to some realizations of our own. Without shepherds racing, praising and glorifying God, we haven't got the good news to share. Without Joseph saying by her side and Mary pondering these things in her heart, we might have missed the Messiah. Without our willingness to bow at the creche tonight and suspend our disbelief, we may refuse the gift which is ours in the Christ child. But if we can accept the mystery of the incarnation as a sign of our own belonging to the heart of God, why then everything can change. When the angels left them and had gone up into heaven, that's where the trouble starts. When the shepherds were left to their own devices, that's where the bottom drops out of the Christmas story. And that's where human beings begin to play our part on this holy night. Our choice is whether we will confirm the decision to live differently because of this gift, or whether we'll go home tonight unchanged. That's our choice. That's our decision. Whether your five little children are stacked in a row with shoe shined and everybody wearing a nice new set of clothes and my sister in a dress, or whether you are able to sing together these holy hymns, the special gift tonight is that it is bathed in divine light and suffused with the holy possibilities. And just as it was in the beginning with Joseph and Mary and doubting disciples and bumbling shepherds and misdirected wise men, you and I can choose God's joy. You and I can choose what we do with this night. We can decide to set our course in a different way. We can resolve to turn toward God and the gift of God offered to all of creation this night. We can choose to let God's love in and change us from the inside out. That's the gift for Christmas Eve. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." My prayer for us is that we're able to suspend our disbelief just long enough to let some of God's light creep in. To let some of God's light soak in. To let some of God's joy speak to our darkness and transform us. Heavenly Father, we pray for these, your people, on this special night. We ask your blessing upon them. We ask you, O God, to be our God, and us to know how to be the sheep of your pasture. Walk with us in our disbelief. Care for us in our cynicism. Pull us from our well-constructed defenses, and on this Christmas Eve night, let us know true joy. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
to you we bring great joy. For why? Jesus is born today. To us on Mary that holy name, the Savior of the world is born.
We'll share the light with you, and as we sing our favorite Christmas carol, Silent Night, the lights will be turned down. And so these instructions are important, that you take the lit candle and you hold it upright, and the unlit candle is the one you put to it. Otherwise, wax gets everywhere and people get crabby. Yeah! So that's what we're going to do. And the light will be passed to you, and the lights down, then will be turned down.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Mm-hmm.